Ira Kaufman will watch every Buccaneers road game this season with you at Buffalo Wild Wings. We are calling it the Sage Road Tour. Watch the game with Ira at your local B-dubs. Great fun. The opening night party at the Wesley Chapel Buffalo Wild Wings last Friday was fantastic. Great crowd, great energy, and the action moves next to week two, the big Thursday night football game, September 12th, against Carolina, and it's in Riverview at the Buffalo Wild Wings. We're going to have a lot more details, but the full schedule for the whole season is at joebucksfan.com. Click on Watch Parties. You've seen it on Twitter. Ira Kaufman, Buffalo Wild Wings. What a marriage. Great fun, great food, great time. BuffaloWildWings.com.
Hey, Ira Kaufman. This is John Gruden. I want to wish you a happy 65th birthday. It's hard to believe you're 65 because I thought you were 65 when I was coaching the Bucks. I thought you were 80. But I miss you, Kaufman, and you tell Roy Cummings and Gary Shelton. I said hello, man. Love you, brother. Happy birthday.
Ira, Mike Tomlin here, Pittsburgh Steelers. Happy 65th, man. I just appreciate the relationship. We had an opportunity to appreciate your work as a young coach and the things that you've done in Tampa over an extended period of time. Kudos and much respect. Enjoy your day.
So it's Ira's birthday.
Oh, it's all amazing. Is he 70 yet?
Is he 70 yet?
No, he got to be more old than that, right? Just 62?
You got to be 62,
man.
To get that.
Oh, at least look 75, man. don't tell him I told him that, well, man.
He's taking the day off.
Who that?
Ira.
On his birthday?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
What's
he think he's special?
I ain't do such a thing. I don't get no days off on my birthday. So how you do that? That's the old man syndrome, man.
I'm going to test positive for osteoporosis and menopause.
Oh, Ira, you can be any age to enjoy all the great bowling and fun and entertainment and food at Pin Chasers, 3 Tampa Bay area locations. Fantastic. 60 years, family-owned business. Thursday night bowling at Pin Chasers. Unlimited bowling for $10.99 starting at 9 p.m. and enjoy $1 Miller Lights while you bowl. So how about that? That's a great night out for $15. Free shoes, as always. It's available at all 3 locations in Zephyr Hills, Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa, on Armenia in Tampa. Get all the location details at pinchasers.net. Pinchasers.net. You can reserve a lane, book a party. Pin Chasers, the food is great. The service is great. Family-owned business. Pin Chasers. You're going to find Ira Kaufman at Pin Chasers later this year for a special Bucks Insider event that we're going to put together when Ira finishes all his medical appointments. Pinchasers.net. Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for nearly 60 years, is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway and at BillCurryFord.com, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford is a proud supporter of JoeBucksFan.com. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on. The Sage is back. Mr. Ira Kaufman in all his glory. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper is here. Intern, the man beast, Zach Seifter. And Ira, you are firing after such a busy day at One Buck Palace. You were completely holding court. Rondé Barber, all the sap there, everybody. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. You know, I don't feel a day over 40. Not a day over 40, Lee. And of course, when I look at my column online, What do I see from Mr. Isbitz underneath?
Tweet the column out.
The Sage has been covering football since 1979. That's right, people. I said 1979. This is the way Isbitz has introduced me. That's 40 years in my book, Lee. 40 years of football. That's a lot of football.
But you missed Ray Hanley.
Oh, did I miss Ray Hanley, but I didn't miss Ray Perkins. Never mind. My Ray's better than your Ray. I got Perkins. Followed by Bill Parcells.
What's my Ray?
In New York. Your Ray is Ray Hanley.
Ray Hanley.
Anyway, I just wanted to say to all the fans that came out, the Buffalo Wild Wings, Friday night, the man beast was with me, with his father, his brother, and another buddy. I got to meet the man beast family. A lot of Buck fans. Big, Zach will back me up. Big turnout. I got gift cards to give out. It was outstanding. We enjoyed the ball game. And speaking of the ball game, let me kick off this podcast right now, because I'm going to say something that the Kemper's going to look at me and say, what the hell were you watching, Kaufman? I'm going to say it right now. I don't put a lot of stock in the preseason, but you know what? If I'm a Buck fan, I'm very encouraged after that game. I'm very encouraged, Mr. DeKemper.
A belated 65th birthday. Your birthday was Sunday.
Oh, you're never supposed to tell a man's birthday over there, DeKemper.
I thought that was
Lee, you never ask a man. By the way, you said that applies to women. I've got women chromosomes in this body of mine over
Whoa.
There, Lee. I never knew
you'd be a cross-dresser.
I've got a female side that needs to be addressed once in a while, so...
I don't have a comeback for that.
Anyway, I'm on Medicare. All right, I'm not going to mince any words over here. I had a blood test today. Went in there, gave my Medicare card, chop chop, and I walk out without having to pay anything.
So
the bill's in the mail.
This isn't a Marv Albert kind of thing you're talking about with the...
I think I passed with flying colors.
But like Steve
and
said,
I got a stress test next week, Steve. I'll be able to tell you about that on next week's podcast.
Like Steve asked you. It wasn't a Marv Albert thing. It wasn't a J. Edgar Hoover thing.
How Marv Albert got past that and overcame that and resurrected his career, I think that's one of the great stories. Let's save that for another podcast.
It's one of the great, unbelievable stories of how the NFL put him back on the air calling games. The Shield put him back on the air.
He was a biter, Lee. He was a biter.
Well, I didn't know about that.
I don't know about that.
The assault, it's crazy.
I'm going on the treadmill next week, Lee. I'll have a couple of stories
when
for
you. When you go on the treadmill, Ira, do...
they show me the Buck highlight
They show
film.
A compilation of Jameis' picks
the
and the defense.
They show me the Buck highlight film, you know, when they go 5-11, and it revs up my heart rate. And then they start testing it. That's what they do. I'm hoping once in a while I can get the 2002 Bucks up there.
I know we're going to talk more about that first preseason game, but your feedback, Ira, because you've been around since Lou Gehrig was a young man. Arians, I thought his postgame comments, especially for a preseason game, was spectacular. You know me, I don't want to hear boring crap. I don't want to hear I'm pleased about anything. Outside of maybe a dessert of chocolate cake he may have had. You know, Aaron's asked about the offensive line. First, he said it was very porous. And then he said the only time they blocked is when the Steelers rushers got tired from chasing the quarterback. I thought that was beautiful. And then when he was asked about the Sean Murphy bunting, I asked him if he even showed up.
You're going to get that from Arians. It's priceless.
Yeah.
It's priceless.
Well, what'd you make of that? But preseason game,
Steve,
he was unloading
on these. I'll tell you what the shocker is, that I think the offensive line blocked better for the run game than the pass game. That's very, very opposite of what we've seen around here for 3 years during the Cutter era. I want to say up front, and I don't want you guys falling off your stools here. Steve, don't drink your lemonade because you'll spit it up when I say this. If I'm a Buck fan, I'm very encouraged off that game. I think they did a lot of good things, and I know it's only preseason. But you know what? Here are the words that I'm applying to the first drive. Rhythm and crisp. Those are not two words I use with your Tampa Bay Bucks, Lee. Rhythm and crisp. They knew what they were doing. No penalties. Moving down the field. Jameis making good decisions. Rojo, you know, living up to Isbit's, preseason predictions of a 1,000-yard season.
I never said that.
Steve, I think they did a lot of good things. Nobody's going to remember 30-28, and why should they? They did a lot of good things. Now, I understand that Pittsburgh did not play most of its defensive players or Roethlisberger. I'm just saying the way the Bucks looked to me early, the ones against the ones, I think Buck fans will be encouraged about that.
But isn't it kind of funny, Ira, in all your years, right, your 73 years covering the NFL, and, of course, you haven't heard the intro to this podcast yet, which is a lot of fun. With a little bit of a roast to your seniority
don't
here.
Don't I deserve to hear that before you play it?
No, we'll talk about it next podcast. It's your official birthday podcast, which I know you had a great time on Sunday and further broke your diet. But you are looking lean, looking crisp and lean.
Thank you.
Anyway, here we are, right? We'd be going out of our minds lunatic if Jameis threw a pick and the run game
That's
didn't
right.
look good, we'd
That's
be going
right.
crazy.
That's right.
And there's a lot of pandemonium because 7 carries by the Bucks running backs, nobody had an explosive run, but we're all like wetting our pants because they ran the football, and Ronald Jones had a few good carries, 3 good carries. So does it ever surprise you, this emotion, this lunacy over one preseason drive?
Look, I've seen the Bucks play a lot of preseason games, Zach, and you don't use the word crisp. You just don't use it. What you use is yellow flag and, ain't going to make the team and stuff like that.
Worrisome. Lee likes to say camp meet.
Yeah, you know,
We'll see what happens Friday. Look, again, nobody cares about the final score. I know Arian. I know Arian says you only play to win, but he's got to say that. It's the preseason, and nobody cares who wins. Heck, Steve, I believe the 2002 preseason finale for the Bucks was against Steve Spurrier's Redskins. The Bucks lost 40-10, and then they started the championship season the next week. Nobody's going to remember the
and
score.
Spurrier was out of a job in a year.
But, Zach, I thought for what they were asked to do for that first drive, I thought they executed in a very efficient manner, and those are not adjectives that you normally apply to this team.
What was it, a 13-play drive?
12 or 13.
81 yards, yeah.
12, 13 plays, 81 yards and a score. What more can you ask for from
the holes
first
were
team
good.
Offense?
Zach, the holes were good, and Jones ran with confidence.
Well, Ronald Jones, I looked this up the other day. I mean, last preseason was, what, 28 carries for 22 yards? In four carries, he's only 4 yards shy of tying that.
Yeah.
This year, so, I mean.
I mean, they got a lot of work to do. There's no question about it, and they got some nagging injuries. I don't think they have a lot to carp about on the injury front.
Because what the heck are you talking about,
Ira? I'm with Ira.
Steve, I'm talking about lingering long-term injuries.
I would agree.
Ira.
I'm with Ira and Zach.
Arian said he thinks Villa could be back week one.
Do you believe any of that nonsense?
He expects David back week one.
And you buy that. You just swallow
it
whole?
I'm not buying Villa.
I'm with Ira here. You know, I was talking to
Buck
our
fans
Joel,
tend to over-exaggerate these injuries.
I was talking about with Davis Lauderdale, JoeBucksFan.com photographer. Great photographer. And he's like, man, they supposedly went to sports science and they have all these injuries. I was like, what injuries?
What injuries?
Yeah. And he's like,
I'm with DeKemper on this, Steve.
And he's like, well, I think they have more. I said, do you see how many injuries they had last year? They almost set an NFL record. I mean, it was ridiculous. Yeah. I said, now some big names are nicked up. V is nicked up. He's not out for the season. Lavonte David should be back regular season. He's nicked up. It's not serious. Edwards, what, a pulled hamstring? I mean, the sky's not falling.
Steve, you see what's going on around the camp.
Now, safeties, the backup, the camp meet safeties, they're beat to hell.
Oh, yeah.
But they're camp meet. I don't care. They likely would not even made the
deal. Well, Edwards needs to get back. Edwards needs to get back.
But it's not a major injury.
Yeah, Orion Stewart, Dakota Dixon, those guys are done for. But
Ira. I don't know. Maybe I'm from Mars.
Steve, are
or
we
something.
Talking about Jameis Winston, Mike Evans, Devin White? What are we talking about?
Howard? I think you're not seeing the big picture, Ira. Vita Vea is a critical cog to this team. The guy's got a knee injury. Now, Arians can say all he wants. He's talking about, let's get fitted for a brace. That, you know what that is code for? Let's rush this guy back on the field because we're doomed
without
him.
He's not having surgery, Steve.
That's great. That's fantastic. But he's got an injury. He's missing camp again. These big guys need to be out there doing their thing.
Steve, you're not going to go through August unscathed. It's not going to happen.
I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a team that if they go 0-2, we're all going to be vomiting and understanding that this is the end of the universe right here. Okay, so there's a chance that Vea will miss a couple of games. There's a chance that Lavonte David will miss a couple of games.
So go beat the Niners without Vita Vea.
Or not be himself. For these guys won't be really fully back for opening day. Those are huge injuries. Mike Edwards.
Wait a minute.
He's the guy you're talking about. He's going to. I think this Mike Edwards is going to be on the two podcasts
I think
ago.
He will be.
He's going to be the big guy in the safety, the rising star. Now he's out.
Zach, do I got to shoot down the host of this beautiful podcast?
I'm not the host.
Do
Ira.
What you got to do.
They just signed a safety, a Super Bowl safety off the street. Zach,
Lee,
correct me.
Lee,
his name?
Who are the Bucks playing in the season opener, Lee?
The Dangerous Niners.
And what team is Nick Bosa already injured, a top five pick in the draft, and they don't even know if they can count on
Don't forget Jason Verrett, one of their top corners.
Does that happen to be the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, but they got a hell of a defensive line
with
or without
him. I understand that. But he's a top five pick.
Yeah.
That would be like Devin White. Not
who, by the way, got showed up by Devin Bush Friday night, but that's another story.
Mm.
Devin White's going to be fine. And Devin Bush is going
to
be a hell of a player. I'm not.
I don't know about
Devin
showing
Bush.
Him up. I mean, I 10 tackles, but all like 8 of those tackles were 6 to 7 yards downfield after first downs.
Well, Devin, supposed to let him go?
It's not his fault.
Yeah,
Devin Bush is going to be a fine player. He's a fine player.
All right, Ira. Look, I'm lost. I'm looking.
Steve.
I only care about the first two games right now. They are back to back.
Did you think you were going to have all 22 starters? Is that a given
for opening day?
Yeah.
Well, I was.
Cutter would.
You might.
That's not the way this league works.
Well, you still might.
I agree with Lee. Cutter would. I understand, but these are critical losses.
I don't think Nick Bosa is going to be available for week one. How do you like
I don't know why we're bringing Nick Bosa into this conversation.
Me neither. He's never played a down of football. Ira, listen, the Bucks.
Vita is a serious loss. However, there's a big however. No one in their mind is saying he's done for the season.
No.
No one's talking about putting him in IR. If he misses a couple games, a hell of a lot better than a whole season. I think the injuries, maybe it's just me. Are there a lot of injuries? Yeah. But to who?
Bosa is a superior prospect than Vita Vea, if you call both of them prospects. Bosa's a superior prospect.
It's not like Jensen's got his ankle in a boot. It's not like DeMar Dotson's on crutches.
Steve, don't go crazy over these injuries, Steve.
All right, Ira. Well, the Buccaneers appear to have gone crazy, Ira. I was teeing up Zach before, but they went out and signed Darian Stewart, Pro Bowl safety today.
CJ Ward.
He went to won a Super Bowl with the Broncos. He played a lot last year. This was not a guy who was just, you know, sitting around. The Broncos cut him, $5 million salary cap savings. You don't sign a guy like that to just rotate in. So somebody
maybe they don't like what they're seeing from Justin Evans. I don't know.
Well, now that's a whole different story.
Seen what?
I think...
That's an injury.
I think injuries. It's leg and a foot and a toe. I think Arians is quickly losing patience with Justin Evans.
I could see that.
I would definitely agree with that.
And I'm glad Lee brought up the patience thing. Injuries we could talk about all day. We'll see. It's early. But I just feel there's such a critical need to win these first two games and the second or to at least go 1-1 that any injury to me is drives me insane.
I mean, I think his comments today on Scotty Miller prove he's not patient with these injuries.
Zach brought up a wide receiver. I'll go ahead and say this. I like the guy. I want him to stay on the team. But this guy has played himself on the bubble big time. Justin Watson. He's got bad cases of dropsies. He's trying to be too much like Michael Clayton. Can't do that.
And you know what's apparent also, and Arians has plenty of company among NFL coaches, penalties drive him crazy. Penalties. Yeah.
Do you know of a coach that enjoys penalties?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ira, I got a text. This is very interesting. I wrote about it, and I talked to Lee about it. I got a text from one of our best sources, a guy.
Another unnamed source.
Another
Steven?
Unnamed source, and of course, Ira, you don't have these types of sources that Lee and I do. But the guy texted me that hey, he's hearing a lot from the Bucks locker room that Arians is being very hard on the guys, really not giving them enough time to recover with this practice schedule, and that the players feel there's too much pressure to get on the field when you're hurt. And lo and behold, right after that is when he made the comments about one of the backups' safeties. I think it might have been Bryce. I'm not sure who it was. But some guy practiced earlier this week.
Yeah, he did say that, yes.
He practiced after the game. He practiced Sunday.
And Arian, how much that impressed
him. And Arian said, I give that guy an A because he's hurt. And we got three guys sitting out, and this guy's on the field. I give him an A. And then he was cracking on Scotty Miller, who's got a hamstring. And meanwhile, the guy's known for his speed. He's not known for anything else. And so obviously he probably can't run. And there you get two public announcements of you better get on the field. Do you think he's being pushing these guys to try to weed out the...
Well, he's got 2 or 3 weeks before he's got to make the cuts. Lee, it's not like he's making them after Friday night's game. I would cut some of these injured players a little bit of a slack. And especially Arians is not new to the NFL. He's been around forever. It's tough to question guys' injuries. You don't do that. And in the case of a pulled hamstring, Lee, you don't want to rush it back.
Well, you know what? You know where Arians made his bones in the NFL? Pittsburgh. What's Pittsburgh known for? Tough. Get out on the field.
Yeah.
And if we want to go back further, Arians, you know, lauds the guy. He learned more football than anything, Bear Bryant.
And he loves Rondé Barber, who you couldn't stop from being on the field.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, I didn't think of that, but... But, you know, Bear Bryant, what was he made famous for? Just Junction Boys, of course, which was basically a slave camp.
Standing up on that tower and watching them guys sweat.
Well, also, what impact did Bear Bryant make as a college football player? He's known for it to this day.
As a player or a coach?
As a player. He's known for it to this day. It's like it's not really urban legend because it happened. He played a bowl game with a broken leg.
Jack Youngblood was famous for playing a playoff game.
Logan Mankins was famous for playing all the way through the Super Bowl. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but he played all the way through with a torn ACL
Wow.
Before he got here to the Bucks. You know, Ira, I don't want to gloss over what Lee said, and the topic of Justin Evans came up, and we've talked about it before, but I think it's very important. When they sign this safety, Stewart, is this a sign that either Evans isn't coming back? Because remember, we just heard he was close, and he's that he was running in a straight line or something.
Or Edwards is hurt. Edwards is hurt a little more than advertised.
And maybe Edwards is hurt more than advertised, or maybe they're not impressed with Isaiah Johnson, the run-into-the-wall guy from last year.
Where's Whitehead?
Whitehead, I thought, played well in the preseason game. I thought Whitehead was...
I'll never forget that dude slamming into the wall against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, about losing your bearings. Ten yards past the goal line,
yeah.
Runs full speed into the back wall. But he's back. He's back on the roster.
And MJ Stewart's in the... Where is MJ Stewart?
He's a nickel corner. They said that they've given up on him as a safety.
Given up on him?
A second-round pick for a nickel corner.
Wait a minute. I thought they gave up on him as a corner and moved him to safety.
Then they gave up on him as a safety and moved him back to corner.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Rondé Barber was speaking kind of low. And in our next podcast, we're actually going to have a special sit-down with Rondé Barber that fans don't usually get to hear. I believe Rondé said that... he likes MJ Stewart as the nickel, as the top nickel.
I believe he did say that.
Which, gosh, let's just put this all into perspective. Ali, you're going to love this. Put your food down.
So this is the position that he helped define.
Well, wait a minute.
Pioneer
was the
word.
Exactly.
Pioneer.
So if MJ Stewart becomes the nickel and Davis and Hargraves are the starting corners, you just drafted two corners and they're not going to play. Essentially, and what's going on at safety? You just signed a free agent who might be your starter with Whitehead. It's possible, as we sit here right now, that the three defensive backs drafted won't start for a 5-11 team. That's very odd if that happens.
And these are premium picks, Steve. Premium picks.
Can I quote Rondé Barber? Good job, Jason, on drafting corners.
I don't foresee that scenario. I don't see it. I still think Mike Edwards, as soon as he gets back, I think he's going to get his job back.
I agree.
And I think he's going to be on the field.
I think he's had himself a nice camp, and he's, for the most part, he was lining up next to Jordan Whitehead as two starting safety. So I think when he comes back, you'll be
seeing
him.
And if it's up to Rondé Barber, Jamel Dean is an all-pro. You know, he's a freak of nature, Lee. Now, you've been called a freak of nature, but for different reasons.
Now, we celebrated that first drive, rightfully so. Even I want to jump on the Ronald Jones bandwagon, but... four carries. I need at least 40.
I understand.
They would call me crazy, but I got to see 40.
I thought he should have played more. I would have kept him in there.
Oh, Rojo?
Yeah.
I agree with that, but I think Arians looked at that second team offensive line and was like, I'm not messing with Rojo's confidence behind these guys. He's confident. Let's get him out of here.
By the way, I asked Arians today for his blueprint for Friday night. I know Buck fans are not going to want to hear this. The starters are not going to play any more than they did in week one.
Maybe one more drive.
Because they're getting the practices this week.
Maybe one more series.
Maybe one more series. Not if the first series looks
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of that, Ira? Do you like that? This is a new system on both sides of the ball. Arians is talking like, hey, these guys will get a couple series and they're out.
I think there's some guys that need to play, Lee. I think Kappa needs to play. I think Rojo needs to play. I wouldn't be in a hurry to pull these guys. Devin White needs to play. Communication, you know, build it up. I'm not saying I want to see Ndamukong Suh in the middle of the third quarter. I'm not saying that.
He shouldn't play at all.
You know, maybe you don't even play him.
If Arians announced today that he's got the rest of training camp off, I wouldn't bat an eye.
I'd applaud as well.
Yeah.
I want to say one thing, Steve. Ryan Fitzpatrick came to the podium on Tuesday. Most of the questions were directed by the Miami media, as they should be. By the way, he's the starting quarterback right now. They say Josh Rosen is trying to make a move on him. I don't see it right now. I am befuddled by this whole situation because I love Ryan Fitzpatrick like you loved Mike Smith as a person. But the more you see him, the more he's exposed. And that's what happened with the Bucs last year. He lost his last five starts. Lost it. Jameis got his job back. And so somebody asked him about Jameis. Fitzpatrick says Winston was superb down the stretch last year. Superb. Mm-hmm. And I think he feels that would be that could serve as a springboard to 2019. And I think he's got a good relationship with Jameis, although think it got a little bit frayed at some points last year.
Probably.
And that's natural.
After practice, him, Jameis, Fitzpatrick, and Ryan Griffin were a little huddle. They were just chatting it up, and they seemed okay. They seemed like they were good friends.
I got the impression from Fitzpatrick that, you know, he talked about, he said, hey, Jameis played, he emphasized the word really. He goes, Jameis, the latter part of the season, played really well. And I just got the impression from Fitzpatrick that he didn't think he had a shot at
That's
starting
exactly
job.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
In Miami,
right.
he had a shot. And he did say, he goes, players want to play. And so he thought he had a better shot at Miami. And
Turns out he's right.
Me add, the Dolphins are paying him like $8 to $10 million, which the Bucs were never going to do. Just to mention the Fitzpatrick-Jameis relationship. Final locker clean-out day last year at One Buck. I was trying to talk to Fitzpatrick about Mike Munchak, who was a coach candidate, and he had played for him at with Tennessee. Anyway, Fitzpatrick wouldn't come out of hiding from the trainer's room, but I could see through the little trainer's window. He was talking with Jameis for at least 10 minutes. They were just yucking it up, and that's after the season was over. Also, we've got a picture on Joe Buck's fan, and there'll be more. Jameis was holding Fitzpatrick's baby after practice today. Yeah, they're all loving each other, and he's holding the kid and a newborn.
I do know that Jameis and Fitzpatrick's kids are real tight. Like, after practice, the Fitzpatrick kids were around. They were around often. Jameis is always playing with them at their practice. And there's one game, I can't remember what it was, the Bucs won. I should remember that. They happened so few times. And it was a home game, and Jameis was carrying one of Fitzpatrick's kids, and Fitzpatrick was maybe about 10 feet behind, and Fitzpatrick yelled, what was that movie line? Let go of my son? Was that, what's the actor? You know, you're a movie guy, Ira. Give me back my son. That's it.
Oh, give me back my son.
Yeah.
That could be either Pee Wee Herman or Robert De Niro.
No, who was the guy? Who was Mad Max?
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, it was Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
In that, whatever movie that was, but I know the line. Give me back my son. And that's what Fitzpatrick yelled at.
You know, Steve, looking back at last year, Steve, I think it's fair, and I'm not blaming anybody because it's human nature, and you and I'd be the same way. Fitzpatrick was pissed that he lost his starting job when he was playing well in the beginning of the season. Was it after the Chicago game? And Jameis started, what, Atlanta, maybe?
Correct, yeah. After the bye.
And then Jameis had to be shocked that he lost his starting job after he was pulled after the Bengals game. So you got to understand the dynamics. I don't think they were mad at each other, but they want to play. They want to play. And
they're competitors.
You know, Fitzpatrick didn't play terrible in the Pittsburgh game. He wasn't terrible.
No, not at all.
First half.
Didn't he start out pretty awful?
First half, he had like three interceptions.
Started off bad. But, you know, Pittsburgh's a quality team. Chicago was a debacle. You know, if Jameis played against Chicago, they weren't going to win that game either. It was just a debacle.
I remember hearing Fitzpatrick in a later interview after the season basically saying that he called his dad after they went 2-0. And he basically told his dad, man, on this Pittsburgh game, this Monday Night Football, I got to play my best game ever to keep this job. Because if I win this game, I'm keeping this job, and this is my chance. And it didn't happen.
Now,
he had the rousing second half comeback, but it didn't happen.
They let him start against Chicago because of the quirk of the schedule.
They were still playing pretty well. They had just shut out Pittsburgh in the second half of that game. All right, Sage, let me go back. Since we've celebrated the offense, I have to go back to Vernon Hargrave, second play of the game.
Yes.
He gets roasted.
Yes.
Now, Arian said the safety help should have been there. Okay.
Kevin Ross said the same thing.
Okay. Well, then Hargraves got roasted and the safety screwed up. That's doubly worse. I don't care. Hargrave is still supposed to cover that guy. Safety help notwithstanding. This is a go route. You got to cover the guy.
Yes.
You think that had anything to do with this move at safety, that they let up a big play right out of the gate? And you think that's good for Hargraves to basically go out there when you're supposed to be ready, when you're not hurt, you're totally dialed in, and to screw up, you think maybe that helped him long term?
You know my takeaway from that play with Hargraves?
What is that?
I think it helped him because he played well after that.
And came back and got a pick. But
the old Hargraves, he goes into a shell. Oh, woe was me. He's thinking about that play. He erased it from his mind. First thing a cornerback has to do, focus on the play ahead of you. You can't change the past. And I think, in a way, I think that's a positive for Hargraves. He got beat, and as Steve said, no excuses. You got to cover that guy.
Right.
He got beat, but you're going to get beat. How are you going to react? And Hargraves, to me, showed maturity.
He didn't get a pick, got offset by a Noah Spence penalty, but he did show up the rest of the game.
Yeah, I was very pleased that he bounced back. That's why I brought it up to you, Sage. I wanted your wisdom. Now, speaking of your wisdom, Tampa 2 from the Identity Tampa Bay and Joe Bucks fan. The new episode, there are two this week. The new episode ran today as we tape this Tuesday at Joe Bucks fan. It's up. It's a good one. Mr. Derek Brooks and you weighing in. So definitely check that out. Actually, the Identity Tampa Bay, for people who love high school football, they are actually streaming every high school football game across Hillsborough County this year.
What did you just say?
It's a fantastic endeavor. It's very unique. You can get more information at theidentitytb.com. You'll read about it. I'll send you a memo.
Something.
And, of course, we appreciate Pin Chasers, pinchasers.net. Check out all their daily specials. There's just always something cool going on at Pin Chasers.
Did you hear the Kemper spiel on Pin Chasers last week? It was magnificent.
It was magnificent. It was absolute brilliance. And, of course, we remind everybody again that your world tour with Buffalo Wild Wings continues. It is going to be one heck of a night for the Thursday night game, all the road games.
How am I going to do it without Zach? Without Zach there, you know, he's my crutch over there, Stephen.
You'll be all right.
He's my safety valve.
You made it these 93 years.
I'll come down for a few.
Okay.
You made it this far, Harry. you'll get through a night of food and Bucks intensity at Buffalo
Wild
Wings.
It's always great to meet Joe Bucks fans. I mean, they come up to you, love the podcast, love the site, how it's updated all the time. Who the hell is the Kemper? Who's Isbitz? Their name ain't on it. Who wrote this? Who wrote that? I throw my hands up in the air. I said, my name's on my columns, gentlemen. That's all I got to say.
And you also, in addition to Lee's dramatic reading and telling us all about Pin Chasers, your story about the there's always a bowling alley guy, a lefty with a big curve, 4'10".
Oh, you must have loved that.
Yeah, dwarf bowling.
They call him lefty or something. Yeah.
It was fantastic, Harry.
And it starts right on the gutter, right? And, right on skirting the gutter.
Yeah, and usually the guy's got the glove on.
He's
got the towel, and he's got it all going
on. The ball's all polished up, you know, lacquered up.
Three great Pin Chasers, bowling alley, and entertainment center locations. It's all at pinchasers.net, and we're working on your tour stop, shall we say, at Pin Chasers, a special night, but that's going to be after Thanksgiving.
You know what the tip-off, Zach, you know what the tip-off is on these lefty guys that are into the bowling? When they go get their shoes, first of all, they got their own shoes. So when they go up to the front just to pay or whatever, they ask the guy behind the counter, you know, how lacquered are the lanes? They want to know the exact texture of it. I'm over there. I'm lucky I got some paint to throw the ball on. These guys, they're right up to date. They want every edge they can get.
All right, Ira, the final question for this podcast, and we probably should have opened with it, but frankly, there was no signature moment, if you will, but maybe you have one. I don't want to speak for your sage wisdom all your 85 years of greatness. Now, there was a joint practice today in full pads. Bucks, Dolphins. Dolphins might be the worst team in the league. Let's face it. Who won this practice, Ira? Was there anything that stood out to you? I think it was pretty vanilla as these joint practices go. What was your takeaway from practice?
My takeaway is this. It's not like it used to be, gentlemen. And I want to sound like some old man talking about, playing football with a leather helmet, Lee.
Too late.
No fights. Can I see a skirmish? Can Sue stomp on somebody's head over there? You know, what am I, a sadist? I want to see a little testosterone over there, really.
Did you see Kevin O'Donnell get the, I think it was
Kevin
O'Donnell.
Kevin O'Donnell, when I talk about testosterone, the first name you give me is Kevin O'Donnell?
Well, if we're going to go there, I'll start talking about Vanessa Ruffles.
All right.
Did you see the evil eye that Bruce Arians gave O'Donnell? I think it was O'Donnell that asked him. Now, Arians is channeling his inner Dirk Cutter. I never saw Dirk Cutter get so fired up as when people would ask him about fights. I mean, poor Jenna Lane, I thought he was going to bite her head off one time.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, holy cow, he'd be calm and collected. Someone asked him about a fight, it was as if you said, I just punched your daughter. I mean, guy would just go nuts. And earlier this week, Arians, you know, proudly and boldly and beat his chest and boasted, there will be no fights.
You're out.
And so O'Donnell, and I think it was O'Donnell, asked him, had the nerve to ask him, were there any fights? You could just see Arians, the drapes come down on his face. He glared at him like, there will be no fights.
What's the matter with this new breed of coach over here, Steve? Now, he's supposed to be old school. Old school is, you know, take a couple of pot shots at a guy.
Well, all I know is 2016, which is the last good Bucks season, I was at the joint practice up in Jacksonville. A couple of days there, And there were all kinds of fights left and right, and that Bucks team came out and
smacked you in the face.
Well, they had a bad start to the season, but I don't know. It didn't hurt them.
I'm like you, Ira. This team needs some kind of identity, an attitude, a chip on their shoulder. I want to see fights.
Yeah.
I want to see the passive, turn the other cheek at this garbage team has been the last couple of years. Duh. Roll over and bet.
Yeah, I agree. It's just fun.
Yeah.
Well, here's why, I
wanted to say it's Cutter, and I never did. When he would freak out about fights, who the hell cares? I say, Dirk, you're walking down the sidewalk, we'll see two dudes wailing at each other. What are you going to do? You going to call the cops? You're going to watch.
Didn't Cutter used to say something like, if you're writing about fights, you missed a game. You didn't watch practice.
Pretty much.
That's not the story of practice. Remember he used to say that? He used to try to dictate what our story was.
It's just funny. Well, the only times he would dictate, he'd try, was a couple times he called Lee in the middle of the night. I got to talk to you. And it's still kind of funny. Warren Sapp today is telling Lee, call me.
Nobody's joking. You're a popular man.
People don't believe this stuff, but
I know is I got a handshake from Warren Sapp. That's a mic drop right there, Zach.
Yeah, I'll just say this.
I don't know if he's going to extend his hand or extend his fist.
To go along with Steve, and I bet Steve's in the same boat, but it's not unusual past 9 o'clock, sometimes past 10 o'clock, I'll be working on stories for the site. I'll get a text from someone that either did or once upon a time collected a check at $1. Not unusual.
And what I have to say? And Zach's aware of this too. And this goes back to, I guess, to the, maybe after the game we'll have a little reflection on the term of intern Zach, the man beast. Zach, you remember well. I was thinking it was one of the first things you wrote for Joe Bucks Fan. I let you know that we got a phone call from one of the big guns.
Yes.
They took a little exception to what Zach had to say, and we defended him to the death. And here he is with all his access. How about that, Zach?
But the other side of that is they're reading it. They're reading
which is good.
It. That's right.
Yeah, I don't mind him calling me up. Well, I'll just go ahead and say this because I think it's complimentary. A guy for CBS had a story. I can't remember his name, and he was talking about challenging penalties, throwing a flag on a penalty. And he kind of gave Cutter some grief that, he shouldn't have done it because of X, Y, and Z. And I wrote about that. Well, about 11 o'clock at night, the next night, I get a text from Cutter. He's like, this story's BS. And so I replied back. I said, I'll be happy to write a correction. Can you help me out here? I said, I'll make sure it's scheduled to post at 5 o'clock in the morning. Everybody and their brother will be able to read it. Won't be buried. I said, I want to be right. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I apologize, but I'll make it up. Just, explain to me what's wrong about it. And he replied back to his undying credit. He goes, I don't need a correction. I just want to let you know where it's wrong. That is a kind individual. I respect that a lot. He wasn't trying to, put me under his boot or anything. He's like, no, I just want you to know where it's wrong so you don't make the same mistake.
And by the way, he's going to do a pretty good job up in Atlanta. He's got Devontae Freeman healthy.
Oh, my gosh. Look what he's got to work with.
Yeah, he's got stuff to work with.
Hey, we got plenty to work with here.
You see Devontae Freeman on this roster, Mr. Rojo?
All right. Zach, you got a final question for the sage here? Final piece of wisdom that you're yearning for?
Well, I met the man beast's father Friday night.
You're so worked up about him being an accountant.
Zach,
you're just fantastic.
Zach, I was very impressed that your dad drank four pitchers of beer.
I believe it was four pitchers.
Something like that. They were small pitchers, and he shared them, but...
Four small pitchers.
And by the way, I shared my chocolate cake that night.
With his dad?
No, his brother, his kid brother. So let it be noted, let it be written, let it be said that I didn't eat that whole molten chocolate cake by myself.
In other words, you want his dad to do your taxes next year for free.
All right, keep telling yourself
that. I got a tax maven on my hand. I'm a happy man.
Keep telling yourself you had half the cake, Ira. We'll see you at Buffalo Wild Wings next time.